Nazi. Sounds like a rock. Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. Of course, there's nothing funny about Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. We know from history that more than 6 million Jews were executed in the gas chambers, and 6 million non-Jews, for a total of over 12 million people executed by these Germans. German doctors and scientists performed horrible medical experiments on their Jewish guinea pigs. I could go into detail, but I don't want to spoil anyone's lunch. But it was not... Anyway, this Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. Very famous book in Christian circles, The Cost of Discipleship. His idea was, if you want to be a real disciple, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost to follow Jesus. It may wind up costing you your life. Bonhoeffer was a prominent critic of Hitler, and he was committed to Jesus. And Bonhoeffer's commitment to Jesus and his criticism of Hitler resulted in Bonhoeffer's death by hanging on April 9th, 1945, only 2 weeks before the Allies liberated the concentration camp he was in. So Bonhoeffer almost got saved, but he was hanged just for following Jesus, criticizing Adolf Hitler. Apparently, Bonhoeffer was serious about denying himself to follow Jesus. It cost Bonhoeffer his life. Bonhoeffer followed Jesus to the point of death. And many other Christians have done so down throughout the ages. What about us? Are we willing to die, perhaps to die in a cruel, painful way, rather than renouncing our faith in Jesus? It's probably a hypothetical discussion, considering our relative safety here in the United States, but as Faye pointed out this morning, in parts of the world, people are having to make this exact decision. Renounce Jesus, or we'll kill you. Or, you know, in Iraq, they have to face a choice of either death or fleeing from their homes. And as they pointed out, many have left their home, left everything to get away from death. You know, or the choice is renounce Jesus or die. Again, probably a hypothetical question for here. It's unlikely that we'll have to make the decision here in the U.S., but we're still called to deny ourselves daily. What exactly does that mean? Let me tell you about a couple of things that it doesn't mean. Denying ourselves doesn't mean. There have been some Christians down through the ages have taken this self-denial to an extreme. There's something called asceticism. Asceticism means you abuse your own body. You hurt your own body on purpose. And the idea is to gain, somehow this is going to gain you favor with God. We also know about monasteries and convents. Some Christians have decided, in other words, to deny myself, to deny the world, to serve God, I need to seclude myself in a monastery or a convent. And the practices in some of these monasteries are very ascetic, that is, severe. Okay? Some Christian ascetics have fasted for days and days. They expose themselves to the extreme heat or extreme cold. Some have practiced sleep deprivation. All this is supposed to be to curry favor with God. Some Christian ascetics have used self-torture and even self-mutilation. But in Colossians chapter 2, Paul warns against being influenced by people like this. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 writes, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Why are you listening to people telling you things like don't handle, don't taste, and don't touch? These things have the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion." In other words, this asceticism where you're abusing your own body in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but this is no value against fleshly indulgence. So Paul says you're abusing your body, but it has no value for fleshly indulgence. So when we deny ourselves, God is not talking about abusing our own body. All right, how about this? What about earthly pleasures? Do we have to deny ourselves all earthly pleasures? Listen to this statement. Earthly pleasures are not inherently evil. Earthly pleasures are not inherently evil. In Timothy chapter 4, Paul and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. Listen, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. When Christians enjoy a good meal, or they enjoy the beauties of God's natural world, they are not sinning. Self-denial does not mean we give up all earthly desires and all the satisfaction of earthly desires and fleshly desires. That's not what it means. When Christian husbands and wives are thankful that God has brought them together and they enjoy all aspects of their relationship, emotional, spiritual, and physical, they are not doing anything wrong. Self-denial does not require abstinence from all earthly pleasures if they are pursued lawfully. So if you pursue fleshly, earthly desires lawfully by enjoying a meal or appreciating the beauty of God's natural world or being married, you're not doing anything wrong if you're pursuing that lawfully. That's not what this self-denial is about. As far as forbidding to marry is a terrible doctrine that has not worked out well for some religious institutions. So if self-denial does not mean that we must give up all earthly pleasures, what does it mean? In my humble opinion, self-denial happens when Christians make this decision. We will not be ruled by our fleshly desires, but instead by the will of God. Listen to this beautiful passage of Scripture. Do not let sin, Paul says in the letter to the Romans, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. And there's two types of presentation. Paul says, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Instead, present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So don't present yourself to sin and unrighteousness. Present yourself to God as righteousness. A Christian writer named Chris Altrock put it this way. Jesus' daily agenda for our jobs and our family and moral lives must overshadow our daily agenda that we can truly say we hate our agenda. Denial of self means that we need to renounce all relationships and activities which can keep us from following Christ if we are to be real disciples. Denying ourselves to follow Jesus may involve giving up certain activities. It may involve giving up some so-called friends who want to take us to places where we shouldn't be. The Apostle Peter says of these friends, in all this they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. Denying ourselves to follow Jesus may involve giving up some of our possessions. Jesus once said, so then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions. Luke 14:33. Another one of those harsh sayings of Jesus. Deny yourself, and now we have to give up all of our possessions. More hyperbole here. Jesus is not saying that Christians cannot own things. He's not saying that we cannot own things. In his letter to Timothy, Paul says those who are rich in this world. That sounds like if you're rich in this world, it sounds like you own things. He says, don't trust in certain riches, but be rich in good works. Get ready to distribute. So, obviously, there were rich Christians, and it's not wrong to be rich. So what does that mean? Jesus is saying that real Christianity involves a willingness to give up the use or ownership of any and all possessions if that act will help us to serve Him. Okay? We have to be. I mean, if you're not willing to give up everything for Jesus, then you're like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, I've done all that I was supposed to do. And Jesus said, you lack one thing. Sell everything that you have and come follow me. And the story goes on. The rich young ruler says, went away sad and grieving. Why? Because he owned a lot of property. That's what the Bible says. The rich young ruler traded the property that he owned that Jesus asked him to give up. He traded treasures in heaven for the property that he owned here on earth. Well, you just can't do that. I mean, probably you're not going to be asked to give up everything you own, but the point is, where are your priorities? Where are your priorities? I mean, eternity is a long time. cross, you have all these benefits. You have Jesus dying on the cross and paying the full price for your sin. Jesus is not just, his sacrifice on the cross is not just a good start. It's the whole thing. The whole enchilada. It's the whole thing. Jesus paid the full price for our sin. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. It's been taken care of by Jesus on the cross. But then the other paradigm is, Jesus says, okay, now that you sat under the cross and you looked up at Jesus and you received all these benefits, this forgiveness, now I want you to climb up on the cross yourself. Huh? Jesus is saying, now I want you to be on that cross in the sense that you serve God and you serve people. Okay? So that then we get into the scriptures about self-denial and putting Jesus first in all situations. So Jesus wants us on that cross, so to speak, to live lives of service to God and service to others. And so that's the lesson. Becoming Christian is relatively simple. It involves believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith changes your mind from unbelief to belief. It involves repentance. Repentance involves changing your life from following sin and self and following God, making a complete 180, turning away from sin and self. And baptism changes your relationship from being outside of Christ to being inside Christ. So, and I've always appreciated that we understand the meaning of the word baptism, which means to immerse or plunge, because that system, that method of baptism, reenacts the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Jesus died and was buried, and then he was resurrected. When people come to Christ, they die to sin, they are buried in the waters of baptism, and they rise to walk in newness of life. So the way we baptize is the exact copy of what Jesus went through.